worship. But it doesn't matter what day of the week it is. It doesn't have to be on a Sunday morning. It can be a Monday morning. It can be a Tuesday. It can be a Wednesday evening. It doesn't matter what situation you're in here this morning. It doesn't matter what situation you're going to be in tomorrow. You can still worship in your situation. Our situation, our circumstances don't change who God is. So I love that song. Come, now's the time to worship. Right now is the time to worship. It is. And so that was beautiful. Another one was that spoke to me is, I know you're always good. I don't know where you're going to take me, God, but I know you're always good. And he is. We can say God is good no matter what situation we're in. And that there for me personally, 4 months ago, and going through Damien's funeral, that was hard for me to say. Up until that point, I could say God is good, and, you know, he was good. But those three words at that moment were difficult for me. But I said it. Because God is still good in that circumstance, in that situation. It's been almost 4 months now, but God is still good. The passing of one of my heroes didn't change who God was. It didn't change who God is. God is still God. God was still God. God was still sovereign. He was still good, and he still is good this morning. And so, thank you, Matt, for leading us in worship. Worship is so important, and we're actually going to talk about that some this morning. Worship. Several weeks ago, when I preached too, it was on the title of "Where Are the Worshipers?" And that there came out of that question, of reading that question, "Where are the worshipers?" And then we looked at John 4. We may get that into that a little bit. Later. But before we get there, James chapter 5, I'm just going to read some in the end of James chapter 5, James, I love James. James is a very practical book. He gives a lot of practicality from chapter 1, just, you know, throughout all the book. And in the beginning of chapter 5, you know, he talks about a warning to the rich. And then he talks about being patient in suffering. And then in verse 13, he comes and talks about this. This is the end of his book. He brings us in the end here. I'm going to start in verse 13. It says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If you have committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth a fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. And so James brings us out in the last part of the last part of his book here, and he says, "Is any of you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and anoint him with oil, and pray for him." And we had a request, and so we're going to do that here this morning. Lauren, where are you at, Lauren? There you are. Lauren is having a surgery coming up on Friday. So why don't you just come up and share a little bit, Lauren, and then we're going to do this. This is something he had asked for. So us, the elders here, we are going to pray and anoint him with oil. And I do want to open it up after Lauren is finished. If there's someone else here this morning that you want to be a sickness or something that you're dealing with and you want to be anointed with oil, we're open to that. We can do that. So Go ahead, Lauren. Why don't you share a little bit what's going on?
Okay.
And what's coming up?
So I guess Friday morning, I'm going to go in, and they want to do open heart surgery. Pretty much the muscle inside my heart is thick, and so they're going to go in, I guess, through the aorta and cut it out so that the blood can get out faster. I don't know. They say I'm supposed to feel better afterwards a little ways. But yeah, so if you can think about it, pray for us. From what I hear, it's not that much fun waking up from that surgery. So yeah, I'm a little anxious about it, but yeah.
Okay. That's fine. Lauren is requesting this. So on this coming Friday, he's having a heart surgery. And so the elders that are here, there's some missing this morning, Ernie, Gail, and Dave, I know you guys are here. So I have oil along, so we are going to do this. This morning we are going to pray and we're going to anoint him with oil for his for healing. Uh-oh. We're good, right? All right, so you guys want to come forward and why don't you have a chair, Lauren? And is there one of you that want to speak something to Lauren that you're sensing this morning for him, why we can do that as well. All right, so we are going to, I have oil along, and we are going to, it says to anoint him in the name of Jesus, and then pray for healing. So that's what we're going to do. So Lauren, I want to bless you, I want to honor you. I know this is a journey for you, just talking about it last several weeks, months, you know, knowing that this is not just a surgery. It's a major surgery, and you're thinking of something that a component that is very major, a heart surgery. Never been there, but I want to bless you, and may God give you strength and courage. And I know as a person, I'm behind you. As a church, we stand behind you and want to support you as well. And with that being said, Lauren is probably going to be out of work for possibly 6 to 8 weeks, right? Is what they're saying. And so he's not going to be at work, and they have a family. And so us as a church, or even if you as a family want to come and support him and them in any way, why, you know, it's going to be a great opportunity just to come along and say, hey, you know, support him through this time. So Lauren, I'm going to anoint you in the name of Jesus for healing for your heart condition. And then I'll have each one of the elders pray as well. If you just want to bless him and anoint him. And let's pray first. Father in heaven, Father, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you we want to thank you that you're the healer. And we know that you're sovereign, you are good. And there's things, Father, that you allow to come into our life, Father, to grow us, to strengthen us, to strengthen others. And so, Father, this morning, as we anoint with oil, I do pray for a blessing on this time. Father, we recognize that the oil doesn't do the healing. You're the healer. But the Bible does say to anoint with oil, and so that's what we're doing here this morning. And so, Father, Lauren, I anoint you with oil in the name of Jesus for healing of your heart. And Father, I speak healing. I pray for healing for Lauren. And I pray, God, that this week you would bring complete wholeness, complete healing to his heart.
Amen.
Because we know you're the healer. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do.
Thank you, Father. We release healing over you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We command the heart, those muscles to come into position and come into alignment. We command the blood to flow the way it's supposed to flow.
Amen.
And we call forth healing to be released over you.
Amen.
And in full measure in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, God, for Lord, Father, and for opening yourself up, Father, for prayer. God, we pray that you would take away the spirit of fear, God, the fear, the spirit of faith,
amen. Amen.
And it's on you, God, that we know that you are in control of all things. and you will take care of this issue in his heart, Father. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do with Lauren.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Father, I just want to acknowledge that our eyes are fixed on you. Mm-hmm. And during this time, we want to lean into you. Mm-hmm. And I pray that that would be Lauren's experience, Lauren and Miriam, that you would surround them during this time, and that they would lean into you. That sometimes in tough times, it's the tendency is to back off. Mm-hmm. And I just pray that you would give them the ability to lean in, to press into you, and mm-hmm. to get to know your heart and to your desire through this. So we are asking this morning for healing, and we pray that you would, as the anointing of oil is on his forehead, Father, that your healing powers will flow through him.
Amen.
And I just thank you for what you're going to do through this process. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Lauren. What's your goal when you have a complete heart? Like a really good heart. Do whatever he wants to do. Awesome. All right. Bless you, Lauren. Yeah, we're going to open this up. Is there someone else? I know for me and my wife, it was something we experienced back on our journey of not being able to have children. This was something we did. We had the elders of the church come and anoint us with oil. And now we have three beautiful children. So there's no pressure, but is there someone else that wants this, you know, would like to have this done? Come on up. Do you care to share a little bit?
I just have this unrelenting cold that comes and goes, and it's really annoying, and I'd like for it to be gone.
Okay. And you have the privilege of having your dad as an elder, so I'm going to let your dad do it.
I'd just like to say a few things.
Actually, let's get the mic so people can hear. There you go.
So, yeah, this is not just an annoying cold. I mean, it is kind of an annoying cold, but it's just something that we haven't been able to get to the bottom of, and so... I get behind this, and we're gonna it's just something that it feels like there's something else behind it. It's not just a common cold that comes and goes. It's just constantly there. So I backed that up. Anything else you want to say?
Okay, go ahead.
Well, Evelyn, I anoint you with oil in the name of the Father and the Son. In the Holy Ghost. And I pray complete healing over your body.
Amen.
And whatever is there that's keeping that release from happening.
Amen.
I pray it would be removed.
Amen.
Or would be revealed. But we are looking to you, Father, understanding that you are the healer.
Amen.
And that there is
over Evelyn right now. Thank you for her vulnerability. And Lord, I just pray, Father, we know that you're the healer. And so, Father, we're asking you to heal her cold, to heal all the symptoms, Father. And so we're praying for complete healing. Thank you, Father, that you're good and that you are the healer. Thank you for what you're going to do, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father, for Evelyn and for encouraging Father to come up here and ask for prayer, Father. Her faith believing that
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
I pray, Lord, by her faith.
Amen.
Lord,
yes, Jesus.
Praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Good job. Bless you, Evelyn. Thank you. Dave made a key when he was praying. He was talking about the faith, and because James talks about it too. about the faith, and the faith part is part of it. It's very important. So, someone else. Down there.
So Jaron, two things with Jaron that I believe we want to pray for. One is he cannot stand his older brother. The very presence of his older brother makes him furious.
And at the same time, he can't do without him.
And it's really difficult to know how to walk that out. But we want that thing gone. The other thing is there's a lump on the side of his gland that... I think it's his swollen gland, but it won't go away. We literally took him to a doctor, and they say, yeah, just do whatever. It's just going to go away. But it don't go away, and we want it to go away. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's bothering him. It feels like it does hurt, and we want it healed.
Let's go there.
Also, he got really sick last weekend, and he hasn't seemed to fully recover from that. So anyway, all of that together seems to be.
All right, and Gail,
as a father, I'm going to give you the privilege to do that. Can someone get us some paper towels? I grab a couple. I didn't think about it getting greasy and oily up here. Yes, go ahead, Gail.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we anoint Gail. Father, mm-hmm. Son, and the Holy Spirit. We ask for the release of your healing. Mm-hmm. Whatever that thing is that is riding him, we command it to get out and go into the pit. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus. We ask for healing over the infection, whatever it is, and his gland. We command that to come into alignment in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Father, I lift Jaron to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I pray that you would speak healing into his body.
Mm-hmm.
And every cell in his body would come in alignment.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. Amen.
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 Father, pray for his grand father and Jaron, Father, that is clogged or whatever his father, pray you open it up,
yes.
Father, and
yes.
Hear
him. Amen. 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 Yes, Father, thank you for Jaron. A little boy that is created by you, special, unique, created with a purpose, with a plan. And Father, we're asking for healing. We're praying for healing specifically for his gland on the side of his face, that you would bring healing to that in Jesus' name. And so I pray a blessing on him and just complete wholeness and healing for your glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Jaron says we receive it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thanks, Hannah. Someone else? You guys want some towels? Okay, that's fine. No pressure at all, but thank you, Ernie and Galen and Dave, for that. Actually, this mic got some on, too. We may want to wipe that thing off a little bit. And give me a couple more. I'm not sure I still got some on my fingers. All right. Do you want? All right, thank you. Bless you. Lauren, what time is your surgery on Friday? You're not sure yet, but it's up in Allentown, right? Yeah, okay. Very good. Oh, my, there was just that oil got all over the place. Well, I think that container got wet, but we're good. God is so good. God is so good. He really is. So where are the worshipers? And just a recap on several weeks ago. We looked at the story in Luke chapter 4 of what Jesus did with the woman at the well. And we look at that chapter. If you look at the whole chapter, you know, you see Jesus walking, Jesus coming to the well, and then the woman came out. I'm going to call her an adulterous woman because she had five husbands. Came out, and Jesus had a plan for her. He simply wanted to take an adulterous woman and turn her into a worshiper. If you look at the end of chapter 4, and we broke through that chapter, but that was Jesus' main goal, was to make her into a worshiper. And so you see that at the end of chapter 4, they're talking about worship, and I believe that's what Jesus wanted for her. And not just for her, but for us as well. Now, when you look at the word worship, and actually, let me back up a little bit, because there's something else. A lot of you were not here that day. But when we look at that story, one of the things that I think is very key to becoming a true worshiper, because Jesus talks about not just a worshiper, but he talks about becoming a true worshiper, and that true worshipers must do it in spirit and in truth. That's how it needs to be done. We talked about that. But the thing that is important is how Jesus, when he was talking with the woman, the first thing he nails, he just hits her with, is her sin. She comes up, they start talking about water, living water, and she says, I want that living water, and Jesus goes right into her, in her gut, and he says, where are your husbands? Go call your husbands. And so he just goes directly to an issue. And so we talked about that, but seeing how Jesus, in order to be a true worshiper, the sin needs to be dealt with. It does. And that's what happened there in chapter 4. But the definition of the word worship, we're going to look a little bit more at it this morning, maybe a little from a different angle in the next 15 minutes. We don't have a whole lot of time, but we'll get into this a little bit. The word worship means to adore, to idolize, to esteem worthy, reverence, or homage. So that's what worship means. And we also talked about in John chapter 4 that God is looking for these people. So God is looking for true worshipers. Now, who are true worshipers? Are you a true worshiper? And so that we're going to start back in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at chapter Genesis 1, verse 26. I'm just going to jump in verse 26 of Genesis 1. This is the creation, obviously. And Jesus, or verse 26 says this. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, he created them. So we're talking about identity here, and looking at God creating man and woman in his image. So that is why we were created. That's how we, and I believe that's me and you as well, we are created in the image of God. We are to be image bearers of our Heavenly Father. That's one of the things that we were intended for. We are image bearers. Part of heaven, a lot of heaven, you look through Revelation and all through Scripture, a lot of things in heaven are worship. Worshiping the Father. And so you and me are created in the image of God. Now just think about for a little bit. I'm just going to share a little story, maybe to give us a little bit of a perspective. And so think about with me for a little bit that I'm going to call this guy's name Tom, okay? So Tom was going on a trip. He was up in Toronto, okay? I'm making this up, but it'll make sense in a little bit. So Tom hops on a train, and he's headed into Toronto. And there's this other guy named Bill comes on the train, and Bill was part of a worship group. Okay? Let's go, worship team. Bill and his worship team were also traveling to Toronto, and Bill and Tom meet up on the train. Now, Tom is sitting there, and he notices when Bill comes on the train that this guy just looks lost. I mean, his eyes, his expression, he's just, I mean, his body is there, but that's about it. And so he sits beside him, and he says, "Hey, Bill, what's going on?" Bill says, "I don't remember. I don't know. What's going on? I lost my memory. Last night, when I was out on the street, I tripped and fell. Someone came and kidnapped me. They took my wallet. They took all my belongings I had with me. They took my identity. I don't know who I am. I forget who I am." And so Tom is like, "Okay, but don't you have family? I mean, who are your brothers and sisters? I'll try to connect you with who you are." He's like, "I don't remember. I don't remember who my family is. I lost everything. I don't know who I am." And so Tom is trying to decide, what can he do? I mean, how can you even take this guy to authorities or the police to find out who he is? Because he doesn't even remember a family member. He just completely forgot and lost his identity. Now, that may seem pretty rad, and it probably is. But don't we do that as Christians sometimes? We just simply completely forget our identity. We are born and we are made in the image of God. But I think there's some times in our life where we just simply completely forget about that. We don't know who we are. We forget who we are in Christ. And we go about and we live. Bill was still living his life. He was still getting on the train. He was still living his life, but he just forgot who he was. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you are made in the image of God. You are an image bearer of God. That's why you were created. Don't forget that. Don't lose that. That's for everybody here. God, that's how God made it. You're supposed to be an image bearer. You're also supposed to be a worshiper. And I look at this thing of worship. This thing of worship is just a huge thing all throughout Scripture, all throughout heaven. Is this thing of worship. Now, so we know we are image bearers of God, and we're also created to be worshipers, because God is a spirit and we're supposed to worship him. God is looking for worshipers. And so how often do we worship? What do we worship? Remember, the definition of worship is to adore, to idolize, to esteem. What do you worship? And how often do you worship it? Is us our coming into church and having our worship service for 30 minutes a week, is that enough? Is that all God requires of us? Is that a true worshiper? Or do you worship every day, all day, all the time? We're going to look at several examples in Scripture just a little bit. But if you would treat your boss, let me back up. I believe if we would treat our boss like we do God, we'd be fired. I think we would. God is looking for something much more than just a 30-minute session per week. God is looking for a life. God is looking for us to worship all the time. That's one of the things we were created to be. It's a thing that's built within us that we need to start doing. Jim Cimbala, in his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, he has a quote, and he says this. I quote Jim Cimbala, "If we don't want to experience God's closeness here on earth, why do you want to go to heaven anyway? He is the center of everything there. If we don't enjoy his presence here and now, then heaven would not be for us. Why would you send anyone there who doesn't long for him passionately here on earth?" It's pretty stirring. Pretty stirring. But I agree with him. I think he's accurate. If we don't want to experience God here, why do you want to go to heaven? Because that's what it's about. Experiencing your creator, your maker, worshiping for who he is. Giving him glory and praise, adoration for who he is. And let me tell you, God doesn't have to do one more thing in your life. Let me back up. That came out a little wrong. If God would do nothing else in your life for you, today's the last day God does anything for you. If that would be the case, God still deserves your worship. It's just because who he is. And I think sometimes we worship for the benefits that we think we might get. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We put way too much focus on the, "and these things shall be added unto you." We do. That's not the gist of that verse. The gist of the verse is seek first the kingdom of God. That's the goal. Let's focus on seeking God, seeking first the kingdom of God. If he wants to add things unto you, praise God. It says he will. It doesn't say when and how. Sometimes we think we should know. But God is just simply asking us to worship him. It's priority. It's key. It's very key. And I look throughout Scripture. This is such a big topic, and we only have about 7 minutes yet. This is such a huge topic. From Genesis all the way through, especially the book of Revelation. Revelation is awesome when it comes to describing heaven, of angels, people. Chapter 13, you know, different nations, tribes, tongues. They're gathered the throne, around the throne. What are they doing? They're worshiping. They're just worshiping their creator for who God is. Because he's worthy of our worship. Worship is for the glory of God. It's not for the benefit of us. And I think we need to get that. Sometimes we look at God's promises and we see the benefit part and we put way too much emphasis on the benefit part. And I think we need to change that. We need to put the emphasis on what it really means, and that's on putting God first. Okay, Job chapter 1, we're going to get into, I'm just going to run through this real quick because we don't have a whole lot of time yet, but I am going to turn to Job chapter 1. This story amazes me, and this man amazes me, but we're going to look at Job chapter 1, and you know this, most of you know the story of Job, and so I'm not going to read the story of Job, but I am going to read the one verse, actually several verses, and I'm just going to read verses. I'm going to jump in. Actually, no, I'll just summarize it, okay? Job chapter 1 here is especially from verses, from verses 12 on. We have Satan and God having this conversation, and they're considering their servant Job. And, Satan says, "Well, it's just because of the possessions you gave him. That's the only reason he worships you." And so God says, "Go ahead, test him." And so chapter 1 here in these verses, 13, 14, 15, is where he loses all his possessions. In verse, let me see here. Yeah, okay, verse 18 and 19. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, smote the four corners of the house. It fell on the young men. They're dead, and I escaped alone to tell thee. And so that is that was the about the fourth straw, you know, of different messengers coming to Job and saying, hey, you lost this, you lost this, you lost this, you lost this. And now it was his family. He just up and lost his family. And verse 20 tells us a lot about Job. It says, and Job arose. He rent his mantle. He shaved his head. He fell down on the ground. And what did he do? He worshiped. Really? How could you worship in a time like that? After you just simply lost everything, including your family. That's what Job did. And this was, I guarantee you, this was not the first time that Job worshiped. Or he wouldn't have done it. I believe Job was a worshiper. Not just a Sunday morning, 30 minutes out of a week type of worshiper. Because when this happened, it would be very difficult. I mean, I'm just looking at you know, our situation, and even with, you know, Damien passing about four months ago. Worshiping at that point comes hard. Very hard. Very difficult. It was, like I said earlier, the God is good part. Those three words were very difficult for me to say. At that point, at that moment. But I did. And I knew God was still good. But this is what happened to Job. He lost more than just his nephew or his hero. He lost his whole family. He lost his possessions. And he says, you know what, God? It doesn't matter my situation. It doesn't matter my circumstance. It doesn't matter what's happening. You're still worthy of worship. And that's what Job did. Very incredible. I love that story. True worship is not just based on our circumstances. It's not based on our feelings. Because I guarantee you, his feelings at that moment were probably not very worshipful. But he chose to worship. Worship is a choice. We need to choose to do it. It doesn't come naturally for us. Yes, it's who we're created to be. Remember, let's not forget. We cannot forget who we are, our identity. We may not lose our identity. But also, we are created to be worshipers, and we can worship. We need to choose to worship in any circumstance, any situation, all the time. A.W. Tozer gives a story of this, of a brother. He calls him Brother Lawrence. This happened in Europe, and this Brother Lawrence is what he calls him, which is probably his name. He was on his deathbed. And as Brother Lawrence was on his deathbed, he said this, quote, I am not dying. I am just doing what I've been doing for the past 40 years and doing what I expect to be doing for all eternity. And someone said, what is that? What are you doing? His response was, I'm worshiping the God I love. That was his answer. I love it. That is so beautiful. Knowing the purpose and being intentional of becoming a true worshiper, even on his deathbed, it's like, I'm just going to keep on worshiping. It's what I've been doing. It's what I'm going to do. Okay. I'm going to wrap it up there. I'm not done yet on this whole worship thing, but we are going to wrap it up there for this morning, because we have the community event this afternoon, and things need to happen there. But this morning, the situation you're in, the circumstance you're in, worship is a choice. Worship is a good choice. God is one of the reasons you're created is to be a worshiper. God is worthy of your worship no matter what you're going through this week. He is. All the time. Not just this morning. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget it. Don't lose your identity in Jesus Christ. You are made in the image of God. You are an image bearer. Not just one day a week. We're supposed to be image bearers all the time, 24/7. So I want to bless you on your journey in remembering, not just remembering, but living out, being a worshiper, being a creator, being a, I just lost my train of thought. Being an image bearer this week. Embrace that. I think sometimes there's a lot of times where things don't happen because we simply don't embrace them. Yes, we heard this morning that we're made in the image of God, we're image bearers. But this isn't just something just to be said. This is something we need to embrace. So let's do it. Let's go. Let's be image bearers for God's glory this week, and let's worship Him no matter the circumstances. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this morning. Father, we honor you. We bless you. We praise you, Lord, this morning. And Father, I know in heaven right now, you're being worshiped. Angels. All kinds of things in Revelation talks about that are worshiping you. Father, we're here on earth, and each person here under the sound of my voice, Father, we're created in the image of God. We're to be image bearers. And so, Father, I'm asking this morning as we go from here that we would be constant image bearers. And we could learn to be like Job, that no matter what the situation, what the circumstance is, we can stop and worship you. Father, teach us to be true worshipers, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for what you're doing. Father, thank you for each person that's here. Thank you for creating us. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the journey you have each one of us on for your glory. Father, help us to love you more. Help us to love others better this week. Thank you, Father. I speak a blessing and anointing on each person that's here as we go from here to live for your glory. Thank you, Father. You're so good. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you so much for coming. You guys are dismissed, and bless your week.